Hey, everybody, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about being a good wartime CEO.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
What does it take? What does it look like? What is it? How could it be useful to know more about this and use this framework potentially during these kind of difficult times? So first, maybe we'll break down for the listener the concept of peacetime CEO and wartime CEO. First time I heard about this was Ben Horowitz's book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. I think he's the first one to kind of use this metaphor. I'm not sure if he stole it from somebody else. I haven't read that book in many years, but something tells me maybe not a bad book to read right now.
Definitely not.
For some people, you know, it just describes very difficult times, very difficult decisions for a CEO. But the way I remember the kind of his breakdown on wartime and peacetime, and then I want to focus on the wartime kind of metaphor, is that he basically describes, hey, there's different phases a company can go through. And during peacetime for a company, it means the company is not under any direct threat by a competitor, by industry, by markets, by whatever. And it is growing and it's prospering. And so it's a time where you as a CEO, you have to manage that growth, that prosperity. You have to stimulate creativity. And he was describing how for a long time, Google was in peacetime, right? Not under a really aggressive attack of competition, all that. And then, you know, and there's a very different mindset and leadership style that's required during peacetime as a CEO versus wartime. And wartime is the exact opposite. Your company is under direct threat, either by a competitor, by an innovation, technology, industry, market, economy, or like we are probably right now, the entire world is on fire. We're in a global pandemic, and that might create a ton of economic attacks to the, you know, lifeblood of your business. So a lot of companies are under some level of a threat right now. You know, will we survive this time? How will we survive this time? And wartime CEOs have to be very different in the way they think, they manage, and they kind of lead their troops during this time. So I'd die to hear your thoughts on this, even on this like peacetime, wartime framework. Do you like it? Do you hate it? And then let's maybe unpack a little bit about like what it takes to be an effective CEO during these times that maybe is different from others.
I am actually a big fan of the framework. I have a build on it, and it's kind of interesting. So I don't think there's such thing as peacetime CEO.
Okay.
I think that's like the conclusion I have come to when I think about that analogy and that content and that way of thinking about it. The reason I would say that is because if you think about tech, which I'm sure a bunch of people who listen are in, maybe not, just kidding. Definitely so. And some people might not be in. And you think about it. And this analogy applies if there is any peace to be had in a business. And in a business, I mean, most of the time, you're not trying to like be peaceful. You're not sitting there having no competition. You're not sitting there, everything being fine and okay. And so I think a wartime attitude is important all the time. That being said, a big caveat, the way that the wartime and peacetime has been like described, it's kind of like in wartime, anything goes. Your level of patience as an executive should be lower. Things like that. Mm. And I'm not like, I get it. But then you're almost like asking for like tyrant mentality. In a way?
Yeah, I think it depends.
And so to me, it's tough to even say, hey, it's never peacetime.
Mm. So I like that because there's definitely truth. It seems to me that there's truth in that it's just a question of awareness or maybe a question of severity of the attack, right? Sometimes you might not know. We all know kind of the famous book, Only the Paranoid Survive, and kind of all the stories from Bill Gates back in the day that was just always in a paranoid state that some small startup in some garage is going to kill Microsoft, right? So there's something to that even when you think there's no attack on your business and things are going beautifully well, there's probably there is an attack somewhere. There's a threat somewhere, right? You're just not seeing and feeling it yet, right? It might be years away from you, or it might just be around the corner. You're just not aware of it. So in that sense, I think that you are absolutely right. I think the part of it that's about like style, right? During wartime, you know, you are going to work less to figure out consensus and get buy-in. Like you have to make the idea in general is like, think about it as a captain of a ship, and now you're in a storm. And in a storm, you will have less time to make decisions. Hence, you need more of a military style. We discuss the options. I make the call, you go and execute. Versus if it was beautiful weather, you know, we might not have to have the discussion, the decision making, and the execution done in 5 minutes, right? With very limited.
But why not?
Very limited conversation. I think that the reason why not is that the threat of life and death isn't there, which gives you more time to explore, because the risk of being wrong is less and the benefit of time maybe is less direct. I get what you're saying, because if it's right to lead in this style when you're in a storm, why isn't this necessarily a bad style to lead the ship, let's say, during sunny weather? I just think that context does matter to some degree. And if you're drowning and I scream at somebody to throw in a lifeguard or something, they understand that when I was screaming at them, it was not aggression towards them. It was not anger. They don't need to feel attacked. The context, the severity of the situation makes it that I scream because this is life and death. So nobody's going to take an issue with it. But if we're sitting around in a sunny day and I scream at you to give me the lemonade, you might, you know, because of the context of that situation, you might feel attacked and you might feel that my commitment that was inappropriate.
So then the question is, does this duality here of the difference actually just promote bad behavior?
I think it depends. I think for people that want to act in a shitty way, or that are interested in being egocentric, that are interested in just having everybody do what they say, I think that people that are shitty during normal times are just, it amps it up to 1,000 when things are bad. Like, you know, we hear all these examples right now where, you know, a company fires 200 employees through a Zoom call with an automated voice message, right? That's like the worst way to let go of anybody.
Yeah, and here's what's funny. I know that company. I know people that work at that company. Yeah. And I actually think they did the right thing. But I know the company. I know the people that work at the company. And I know why they did it like that. And I also know how fast they did it. And so in a way, it's like, is that bad behavior? So here's what I'm trying to say. I think you're always at war in a business. I just think that's just true. You happen to have sometimes when you have an excuse as an executive or a founder or CEO or whatever, that you can get away with more abruptness and in order to make the team and the company and the moves just happen faster, even if people don't fully grasp them. The problem with that is when you take that to an extreme, even during extreme times, and then you just either burn out your people or people end up just leaving, or probably both. And so I think like the right way to think about this wartime versus peacetime is a lot more situational. And being able to communicate to your team consistently in the right ways to get them motivated to do what's right. And that's really why I think this like duality of wartime versus peacetime and the explanation of it exists. Because people tend to have a hard time to get other people to do things. And so if it is wartime and we can say it is because of the environment or the situation, then we are given a lot more latitude to be abrupt and push and make mistakes like the one, like the companies you're referring to might have made. But in wartime, the most important thing, as you put it, would be speed of execution, speed of changes, speed tactically It's a lot of tactical stuff. You don't actually necessarily have the time to be strategic like you might normally. My friend, I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and I was just talking about some things, and he's like, you know, right now would be the time to execute, not to think about strategy. And I thought about that, and I'm like, well, most of the time you should execute and not think about strategy so much that it's preventing you from making decisions and moves. And right now, I think the whole idea of revolving door decisions, so like ones where you can walk through the door and walk back versus ones where you walk through the door, you can't walk back. Mm. I think that concept might be thrown out the door right now.
Mm.
Because you can almost walk back from anything you do right now. Because anything kind of goes.
It's so interesting because I think we look at two of the opposite extremes of this framework. I think I completely agree with everything you said, that people will take this time as an excuse to lead in an unproductive way, right? Or to exhibit behavior that's unproductive, or sometimes it's erratic, right? And they'll excuse everything they do, everything they say, they're flip-flopping, they're panicking by saying, well, it's wartime, so I'm being different. That's shitty, right? That's not going to be good, not in the short, not in the long term. I look at the other extreme. I look at the people that have never been in a life or death situation, that have never operated within that context, and that are terrified of operating differently from how they used to. They don't know how to step into a mode that's different. Like, not, as I said, if you are in a military situation, there's gunfire at you, and you have like a couple of people that you're responsible for, it's a different context, and you have to behave. The core principles of leadership still apply, but you have to operate very differently from when you're, you know, barbecuing with a bunch of friends and shooting the shit. It's a different situation.
Well, my whole thesis, and maybe this is it for me at least, is like, why don't we treat our businesses like that more of the time? That's my, like, that's what I always get when I read this stuff. Mm. Besides the fact of like being abrasive and all that, you shouldn't be that, but wartime CEO content tends to talk about just, you know, the difference between wartime and peacetime. What I'm saying is like, well, why is there a difference?
I think that's a fair point. And I think that if you look at a lot of very successful CEOs, they probably operated more often than not as if there's war, even if nobody else was aware of it, right? Or they instilled that urgency and that we have to beat the competition, or we have to beat this new innovation more aggressively than most people would think is necessary, right? So you might be completely right. I think that the reason why people don't do it is because it's not everybody's... I think most people would burn out in that level of intensity, right? Most people, if they had to live their entire life as if they're in a war situation, would burn out. Like, life would suck if you acted every day as if you're under fire and your life is under threat, right? I don't think that is necessarily a great way of living life. Hence, I think that people will extrapolate that to the way they want to work. Most people don't want to work with the level of intensity of life and death for the business, their career, or this project every single hour, every single day. They can step into that mode, and they're willing to operate within that context for a limited amount of time, just like you said, or they burn out. But they're not able to do that for long periods of time. And when you think about the kind of CEOs that we all heard of that were like tyrannical in the way what the demands they made, oftentimes most people couldn't really keep up that intensity for that long and would burn out. And only very few could do that for a very, very long time. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. So I would just encourage folks, like, right now, yeah, it's wartime. Like, do what you got to do. I think it's about taking those concepts and seeing what we can do about them more regularly, or how we can think more regularly about having this pressure, so to speak, or this need for moving faster.
Before we wrap up the episode, what do you think? Well, first, let me ask you, because I can tell you right off the bat, I don't always operate with the same intensity that I have in the last. It's not just during this kind of unprecedented time of the pandemic that I've acted with more intensity. I've done it many, many times, but I don't do it throughout the year for the last five years, 10 years. I don't always act. I do relax, and it's not always for the better, right? But I do have a range